from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Friday, April 24th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. A new state audit of a fund meant to provide free legal help to indigent clients found the fund lacked adequate oversight. The audit comes as the state's year-long freeze on the program nears its end. WHQR's Kelly Knoyer reports.
The program is called the State Bar's Interest on Lawyers' Trust Accounts, or IOLTA. It takes the interest earned from client funds held by attorneys and uses that money to help the poor afford legal services. Because of significant growth in real estate transactions in recent years, the fund has grown from $3 million in revenue in 2018 to more than $16 million in 2024. The State Bar administers the funds and typically gives grants to organizations like Legal Aid of North Carolina and the North Carolina Justice Center. But that all came to a halt last summer when the legislature froze the payments. Lawmakers brought IOLTA leadership to a hearing in October and questioned whether the grants were going to appropriately non-biased organizations. While the audit says grants were awarded properly, there was insufficient monitoring after grants went out. IOLTA Executive Director Mary Irvine says the program is happy to comply with the auditor's recommended monitoring requirements.
We want to be able to get back to the work of serving North Carolina communities with legal information and legal support.
The freeze is set to end June 30th, but Irvine says it will take several months for funds to be released as IOLTA starts the awards process again. In Wilmington, I'm Kelly Knoyer.
FEMA has announced nearly $256 million in new funding for Hurricane Helene recovery efforts in North Carolina. The money will support 85 projects, including debris removal, road repairs, and rebuilding critical infrastructure across the western part of the state. State officials say the largest portions will go to emergency management and transportation projects. FEMA says it has now provided more than $5 billion for Helene recovery, including direct aid to more than 160,000 families. Charlotte Democratic Congresswoman Alma Adams was the subject of a 2023 House Ethics Committee investigation as to whether she had an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Adams, who is 79, released a statement Thursday saying the committee found no violation of any House rules and no inappropriate or improper relationship. The website Notice first reported the investigation. It said House ethics staffers interviewed staff members about Adams' relationship with Sandra Brown, who is also her district director. Adams' statement said that the committee, quote, advised that Congresswoman Adams should work to ensure that no staff received preferential treatment, actual or perceived, and that all staff were aware they could raise any concern without fear of retaliation. Kathy Bessant is stepping down as CEO of the Foundation for the Carolinas. That's according to an internal memo shared with Foundation staff and obtained by WFAE. Bessant is a longtime Charlotte banking executive and former Bank of America leader who took over the foundation in 2024. In the memo, foundation officials praised her leadership and said she helped strengthen the organization's finances during her 2 years in the position. Foundation President Laura Yates Clark will now take over day-to-day operations. The foundation manages more than $4 billion in charitable assets across the region. The two top editors of the Charlotte Observer are leaving. Multiple news outlets and people familiar with the paper say executive editor Raina Cash and managing editor Taylor Batten will depart by the end of next week. The Observer's parent company, McClatchy, has consolidated leadership at its papers in other markets, with editors overseeing multiple newsrooms as the newspaper industry continues to shrink. It's not clear who will lead the Observer locally. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board of Education will hold an emergency meeting today to consider modifying its academic calendar ahead of a planned rally in Raleigh on May 1st. It comes as other school districts have canceled classes due to anticipated teacher absences. James Farrell has more.
Public records show CMS was bracing for a higher-than-usual number of teacher absences as educators have planned to participate in the rally. As of Wednesday, CMS had 1,875 pending teacher absences for May 1st. That's already 50% more than the total number of absences reported on May 1st last year. Ardrey Kell High School had notified staff it was pausing approval of May 1st leave requests due to the high volume. The North Carolina Association of Educators is organizing next week's Kids Over Corporation rally to push for more school funding from the General Assembly. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, Durham Public Schools, and Kannapolis City Schools are among those who have moved to make May 1st an optional teacher workday. North Carolina still lacks a budget, creating uncertainty in public school finances, and the state regularly ranks near the bottom of school funding rankings. James Farrell, WFAE News.
Some of Charlotte's largest companies are again pooling their money to preserve affordable housing around the city. And for the first time, officials with Charlotte's Housing Impact Fund say they've raised more than $100 million. At a news conference Thursday, Erskine Bowles, one of the fund's founders, said the money will help preserve housing for hundreds of families.
With this $100 million that we just raised, we'll be able to buy 1,500 more apartments here in town. We'll fix them up just like we've done before. We'll reduce the rents, and we'll hold those rents down for a 20-year period of time or more.
Since 2020, the fund has acquired and renovated nearly 2,000 apartments around Charlotte while keeping the rents affordable. Major companies that made contributions include Truist, PNC Bank, Bank of America, and Atrium Health. Drought is deepening in North Carolina, with nearly the entire western third of the state now declared to be in extreme drought. That includes most of the Charlotte region. The rest of the state is classified as either severe or extreme drought. Assistant State Climatologist Corey Davis said Thursday that Charlotte is up to 17 inches below normal rainfall since August, and reversing the drought will take months even if rain starts again soon. And the sudden deluge could actually cause more problems.
But if the skies suddenly opened up tomorrow and dropped 17 inches on Charlotte, that would not end the drought. And that's because most of that moisture would run off. It would not have time to soak down into the ground. It would not reach our reservoirs or those deeper groundwater stores. And it would probably cause more flooding problems than anything.
Municipalities across the Charlotte region are asking people to voluntarily conserve water. Stricter mandatory limits will be implemented if the drought does not improve. The Carolina Panthers selected University of Georgia offensive tackle Monroe Freeling with the 19th overall pick in the NFL draft Thursday night. The 6'7", 315-pound player from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, met with reporters and said he's eager to get started in Charlotte.
I think I bring the energy every single day, regardless if it's a practice, a walkthrough, or a game. I bring the energy every single day, so I'm going to get on that team, and I might be a rookie, but I'm going to bring the energy every single day just because I don't think I can go out there and play offensive line without it.
Freeling could have an immediate impact since Panthers left tackle Ike Ekwonu is recovering from a knee injury. Rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft are tonight. The Panthers have the 51st and 83rd overall picks. A leader in the influential Black political caucus says he's disillusioned that the Charlotte City Council hasn't moved to stop the construction of toll lanes on Interstate 77 in South Charlotte. Steve Harrison has this report on a political issue that could remain potent through the next mayoral election.
Almost all elections in Charlotte are decided in the Democratic primary, where half of the voters are African American. Because of that, the BPC endorsement is considered critical, and it's likely to take on extra significance in 2027. That's when the Charlotte mayor seat is expected to be open. But BPC Transportation Committee Chair Rocky McGregor said he's upset that almost all city council members and potential mayoral candidates have been noncommittal on stopping the I-77 expansion.
Where is the leadership? Where's the consistency of that leadership?
10 of 11 council members have said they have significant concerns about the project. But outside of Councilmember Renee Johnson, McGregor said he's yet to see any action. He said that will likely influence 2027 endorsements.
We're looking to see where the leadership is. Where's the decisive leadership? Where's the consistent leadership? And what I can say is, that has been very difficult to follow.
The North Carolina Department of Transportation has agreed to delay issuing a request for proposals for the toll lanes until June to get more public feedback. It did that in part in response to a BPC lawsuit filed in February to stop the project. The state said it will ask potential contractors to look for creative ways to minimize the impacts to historically Black neighborhoods nearby. But McGregor said he's not just worried about the impact to residents, but about the fairness and effectiveness of toll lanes in general. The city of Charlotte decided to move forward with toll lanes nearly 20 years ago.
Why are we looking at, you know, toll lane data that was done in 2007 to determine whether or not we should have these toll lanes? And we're dictating that on what we do moving forward for the next 50 to 100 years? I don't think that's a wise decision, period.
Groups like the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance support the plan to build two toll lanes in each direction, from uptown to the South Carolina line. They say it's the quickest and only guaranteed way to provide an alternative to the traffic that nearly always grips that stretch. The city of Charlotte holds more than 40% of the weighted vote on the Charlotte Regional Transportation Planning Organization, which is the key decision-making body. Though council members have significant power, they have been unwilling, so far, to push for a longer delay to consider more options. McGregor said toll lanes on I-77 in North Mecklenburg have allowed some people to escape traffic if they're willing to pay $20 or $30 on a one-way trip. But the free lanes are still gridlocked.
Why is it that we've chosen toll lanes when toll lanes have not produced what we desire, which is a reduction in congestion? That has not happened.
In Gaston County, I-85 is being widened with one additional lane each way for 10 miles at a cost of $1.5 billion with no toll lanes. To do that, the DOT broke that project into three segments, allowing I-85 to draw from a statewide pool of money three times. For I-77, the DOT plans to access that money only once and have tolls pay the rest. McGregor wants to know how Gaston
can break this into three projects and get three times the money, and we only get one pool of, you know, the funding.
The Charlotte City Council and CRTPO never considered the Gaston model. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
And for Friday, April 24th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.